Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 91 of Internet Marketing. My name's Andy White.
And I'm Kelvin Newman.
Internet Marketing, of course, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com, isn't it, Kelvin?
Yes, that is the web address.
And today's is a news and tools episode, episode 21. Today's date is the 21st of October.
It's not episode 21.
Did I say 21? I meant 91.
91.
Episode 91. They're both ending in 1, you see, Kelvin.
Yeah. Time travel there.
Episode 91, and it's the 21st of October. Well, it will be when this goes out. It's not really at the moment. It's actually only about the 5th of October at the moment. What are we talking about today? Google's Instant? Well, it's all Google,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a Google fest today.
And then just an event we want to talk about at the end. So stay tuned.
So, going to start off by talking about Google Instant. Now, a few of the more observant of you may have realised when we sent out our last News and Tools episode that we occasionally record these episodes a couple of weeks in advance.
Like today.
So what we did in that case was we talked about something very new and very exciting that was happening that a few people had spotted, i.e. Google updating as you searched. And we talked about this as being very, very exciting. But unfortunately, in the gap between when we published it and
it was no longer exciting
because it had been announced and it was called Google Instant. So I wanted a bit of an update on that, and apologies for people who caught that in that kind of in betweeny time last time, but the points still hold true. Now, basically, Google Instant, for those guys who've not come across it, is a pretty big change. Not the huge change that a lot of people made it out to be, i.e. SEO hasn't died, or Google haven't exploded into a puff of black smoke. Basically, what happens is as you type in a search result, if you're at Google homepage, and most of us search in our browsers, but if you're on a Google box, an actual box there, and you start typing something in, it will assume, based on what other people type who have hit that same combination of characters, have searched for, and show you the results of them. Now, that's exciting because it makes it very, very whizzy and very, very super duper. It is a little bit visually distracting, but it does have implications on natural search traffic and paid search traffic. Now, from a paid search point of view, there's what is now known as the 3-second rule, which to me means the rule between if someone gets up in the pub, if you count to 3 seconds, that, you know, chair is fair game, I can go and sit in it. But apparently it now has another meaning as well, which is that's what counts as an impression. So if someone is typing and pauses for 3 seconds, that is counted by Google AdWords as an impression. So yeah, that's quite important there. So that's going to have an implication on the number of impressions you're having. But what I actually think is the bigger impact, and this is for paid and natural search, is the way that it will begin to slowly influence search volumes and behavior. So, for example, and this is the example I use in the premium podcast of the video I did for it here, but it's equally applicable. So, as some of you know from where I've mentioned in previous episodes, I'm moving house at the moment. So, in the process of moving house, I'm on Google Instant and I'm looking for an online conveyancer. ER on the end, so conveyancer. So I start typing in online and I get things for like online games or online betting or all those kind of things, but that's not what I'm looking for. So I carry on typing and I go CONVE, and at that point, when I'm halfway through that word, the results pop up for online conveyancing rather than online conveyancer. Now, if I pause for long enough whilst typing this and see those results, go, oh, well, that's what I'm looking for, in my mind, the difference between an online conveyancing search results and online conveyance results are not particularly dramatic. Mm. So I go, okay, that's fine. Click on the first result, click on the second result, do all those kind of things that I might do there as well. Now, that has an influence. So suddenly now more people are searching for online conveyancing than conveyancer. And what if you were the website that ranked number one for online conveyancer, but seventh for online conveyancing? Uh-huh. Suddenly you've lost a huge chunk of your traffic.
You have.
Now, you probably won't notice this because most people search in the browser. So they, you know, you have a box in Google that allows you to search there, or they might be on a low speed connection, or they might be on another website. So not everyone's going to see Google Instant all the time. But what I think you'll start to see is a slow, gradual shift and change in some of the search patterns. So the keywords that used to be very popular might become extremely popular. Keywords that used to be moderately popular, you know, you'll see a mixture and changing of the behavior that's there. A lot of people said, though, this will kill the long tail. So that was, you know, in the days immediately after Google Instant came out, the big argument was Google Instant kills the long tail, because the argument was is that if you're seeing the results before you even finish typing, you're going to click on a page before you even finish typing. So rather than typing online conveyancing services in Brighton, I've already gone online conveyancer, clicked and gone through. Now, there's a little bit of truth in that because it does make it shorter. But I also think the way that it's now really prominently suggesting longer phrases will sometimes increase people to search for terms they wouldn't have done before. So I kind of took a bit more like a fat middle, you know, happening. So it's like less people are searching for short, high volume phrases. They're searching for a wider variety of sort of medium volume phrases, but searching less for those low volume, high variety phrases. That I think this is probably will be part of what will happen with Google Instant. But it's not significant changes. It's small shifts and subtle changes that, you know, might only have an impact of a couple of visits here and there.
Sure, but, yeah.
But, you know, in some businesses, that small change might have quite a big impact. Not for everyone, but for some businesses. So, yeah, Google Instant, if you've not played with it already, have a play with it. But my lowdown is it'll affect search behavior and it'll affect pay-per-click impressions, but only a small amount.
Interesting stuff. It'll be very interesting to see how this unfolds, actually, over the next few weeks, months.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's part of a series of things that are being rolled out at the moment as well. Because so the next, you know, one of my four Google items is what I don't think it's at this stage. It's not been around long enough to really even have a name, but I'm calling it the Google Arrow.
I call it the little Google Triangle.
Yeah, the Google Triangle. Yeah, that's better. So basically, what you might now find, not everyone, but depending on if you're signed in, where you are in the world, and all these kind of permutations of how Google roll things out. When you search for something, you may notice a small blue triangle near the first result, and that would be the first result of a paid term if there are paid searches, or the first result of a natural result if there's no paid searches.
Sure, yeah.
Now, what you'll notice about that arrow is, oh, well, that might encourage people to click a bit more. Well, what I'll tell you to do is press the arrow key down on your keyboard when you search for that, and you will notice that that arrow will move down to the second result.
So it's like a cursor just showing you which result is active.
Yes.
Very similar to the cursor you get in Google Mail when you switch keystrokes on.
Okay, yeah. So that's essentially what this is some people thought, oh, well, what are Google doing trying to make more people click on pay-per-click adverts? How very greedy of them. Well, what this actually is it's a sort of keyboard-based browsing system for the results. So if you were to type in your online conveyancing, the arrow comes to the first result and you click enter, you would go to that first result. If you go online conveyancing, press the down arrow a couple of times and then click enter, you would go to that page. So that's quite handy. It might make it a bit quicker for you to browse if you only use a keyboard. But there are arguments, and I think this is probably true, that if you are the first position, the one with that little blue arrow, you might get a little bit more attention than you did previously, because that blue arrow, though very subtle, might draw the eye a little.
The arrow effect.
The arrow effect.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's an interesting one. Google are rolling things out all the time, and we could do a news and tools episode every single week about the new things that Google are trialing in various different shapes or forms. But that arrow one, I think, is an interesting development from a search point of view. But the next one I've got is actually a more of an email marketing one. And you said you've played a bit about with this.
I played with it and then turned it off.
Okay.
Google Priority Inbox, which is interesting, because so basically what Google's trying to do here is it's been around for a while. It's not particularly new, but it's interesting because what it does is it tries to work out which are the most It tries to work out for you which are the most important emails you should open first.
Yeah.
And it's based partially on heuristics, but partially on you training it, so you telling it which ones are important. Mm. So what it does is sort of splits your inbox into sort of a, you know, read this now, or these are priority, and then a sort of other things that you've starred in the past, and then things that it doesn't think are a priority.
Yeah.
I actually turned it off because I found it really slowing down my Google Mail. At least I think that's what was causing the problem.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I think what it's trying to do is interesting, because many of us will, you know, many of the listeners will identify with kind of the concept of email, you know, email bankruptcy. So you just get so much email that it's impossible to deal with. Now, what I tend to do is I've done a bit of a Tim Ferriss style thing here, and I batch it. So I actually don't reply to I check my email all the time, but I don't reply to it.
Sure.
I reply to it like once every other day. I'll sit down for an hour and go through all of my emails systematically and make sure I respond to all of them. If it's urgent, I'll deal with it straight away. But for those less urgent ones, I batch it together because you get into a role of doing it.
Yeah.
Now, I get all kinds of junk email that at the time seemed like a very good idea to sign up for, you know, mailing lists or, you know, all kinds of things. And what Google Priority Inbox for your Gmail account does is kind of give you a signal of which ones are most important, and it's based on, you know, user data and emails you've replied to and what you normally open, what you normally don't open. Now, what's interesting about this is it's almost opened up an extra tier. So in email marketing, your big goal is to avoid hitting the spam box, because people occasionally check their spam box, but most frequently they don't. Now, what this does is it almost creates an extra tier again. So you've got your priority inbox, your normal inbox, and your spam box. And it kind of, if this takes off and if other email providers and if Outlook copy it, which they might not, you kind of get this tiered system. And what that then means for an email marketing company is if for whatever reason you're not sending the right signals that you should be in the priority inbox, you're going to end up in the normal one and you might get less traffic than you would have done.
Interesting.
And what you need to do, though, is it isn't rocket science, because if you want to be in the priority inbox, what you've got to do is people have got to interact with your content. So if you're sending loads of emails that the person never reads, then they're not going to get it in their priority inbox. So actually, you're not really losing out anyway, because they were never opening it in the first place. And I think hopefully this will be one of those things where it doesn't change fundamentally what makes good email marketing and what makes bad email marketing. But I hope it might give a few more people that kind of kick up the behind to do a bit better job with their email marketing. So yeah, that's Google Priority Inbox. If you're an email marketer or doing any email marketing, sending people to Gmail, which might only be a relatively small fraction, have a look at it and see if it can influence the way you approach your email marketing. But of course, it's the same stuff: open rates, forward rates, click-through rates, all sort of important.
Yeah. I mean, tell us how you get on with Priority Inbox. Be interested to know from people, actually.
And the fourth and final of our Google News and Tool Bits.
Yet another shortener.
Yeah, yet another URL shortener. I would be interested to know, Andy, if I went back through all these News and Tools episodes, I think probably one in two, if not even more than that, feature a new URL shortener.
Well, for that reason, we've decided on a fifth category of show, the
URL shortener special. Yeah, yeah. Once every fifth show, we go on.
Just kidding, we're not really.
No, only kidding. But Google have made more widely available their URL shortener, which is goo.gl.
Goo.gl.
Yep. So they're doing all the usual things. A 301 redirect on it, so it passes link value, some basic analytics, an API, so you can set up tools that shorten it and allow multiple people to manage, you know, so you get the tracking, even though it's multiple people doing the URL shortening and all that kind of thing. I've seen some interesting security loopholes in it already, which I imagine are probably being filled as we speak.
We best not tell everyone what they are.
No. So what I would say is, if you're looking for a new URL shortener, if you haven't already decided on one of the 17 million out there, have a look at Google's one. They will probably foister it on you a bit in the way Twitter are potentially foistering the t.co URL shortener. But it's the reason that Twitter said that use R1, it's more secure than Bitly and TinyURL and all that kind of thing. And I don't know if you did, were you about, Andy, when there was that big Twitter hack a week or two ago, where basically if you put your mouse over these black box tweets, it would automatically retweet that on your account.
Oh really? No, I think my head was down at the time then.
Okay, it took out, like, basically for about 2 hours all of my Twitter feed were people being hacked. Now, it wasn't a fundamental hack where everyone's email and password got, you know, exploited, but it did show just kind of quite how flawed Twitter can be. But it was using their URL shortener, which is supposed to stop stuff like this. So I would just say that no URL shortener is perfect, and I'd probably in many cases put all their names in a hat and pick one out which goes for it, because there's very little to determine between them in a lot of cases.
That's fantastic. So just before we wrap up, Kelvin, I believe there's a few events you want to mention.
Yeah, just a couple of events that I'm attending. So if people are about and fancy attending them, I will be speaking at them. Or if not, if people are in that vicinity, because I'm traveling a bit further afield than usual, if anyone's about and want to meet for a coffee, let me know. They're both coming up fairly shortly. So on the 29th of October, I'm in Manchester. Oh, I'm not going to do it in accent there. It'll only be embarrassing.
I won't either, because I can't do Manchester.
And yeah, I'm there for Manchester SEO, a half-day free conferencing. I think it's fully booked, but there might be a few more tickets still going there, and I'll be talking about the psychology of link building. And I'm also in Vienna from the 4th till the 6th.
God, you really are becoming an international superstar.
Very,
you,
very
Kelvin?
Jet set. Yeah,
you're going the way of Dan, aren't you?
Yeah, this is it. This is it. He's off globetrotting all the time. But yeah. No, that one is for it's the ICMA, but I can't remember what the ICMA stands for.
If you notice a slight change in Kelvin's voice, it's because he's now standing up looking at his book.
There we go. Yes, the ICMA is the International Classified Media Association.
Well, there you go.
So they've got a very interesting event going on in Vienna, and I'm going to be out there for a few days for the conference. I'll be talking about classified marketing, classified magazines, and how they can do better on search engines. But if anyone's in Vienna, I don't know anyone in Vienna from the conference, so I might be a bit of
I just have this vision, Kelvin, of you in the evening listening to a lovely violin quartet in a very posh restaurant eating caviar.
I imagine it will probably not be very like that. It'll probably be me sort of tapping away on Twitter going, what's going on? But so two events I'm attending over the next couple of couple of weeks. So that's the 4th to the 6th of November, that one, and the Manchester SEO is 29th of October. If anyone's around attending those events, come say hello, because it's always great to meet the listeners.
Another event you might want to have a look at, it looks very interesting, iShop Kent 2010. The chap in charge of that, Alan Noak. Reason this one caught my eye is actually on the 5th of November, starts at 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. Thing that caught my eye about this is the venue, which is the Pines Calyx, I think that's how you pronounce it, Calyx. I've been there at St. Margaret's Bay. It's near Dover in Kent, and it's a really cool venue. It's one of these eco buildings. It's like a sort of mini eco version of the Albert Hall.
Okay.
And it's sort of all made of rammed chalk. So I just thought I'd mention that. But that's iShop Kent 2010, which is basically a sort of an e-commerce conference. Mm-hmm. So that's 5th of November, which I think is a Friday. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bonfire day.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
I think I might be going to Lewis for that. So if anyone's ever been to the Lewis bonfire, this is very exciting.
Well, if you're in East Kent, then... hop along to the iShop Kent event. Well, we'll put a link in the show notes anyway to that. And I think that's a wrap, isn't it, Kelvin?
That's all from me, yes.
So it's goodbye from me, Andy White.
And goodbye from me, Kelvin Newman.
See you next week. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.